Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the local review body. The order of business
is as printed in the agenda, Chair, and apologies from Councillor Councillor Montgomery and Councillor Milligan.
Thank you. Any declaration of interest can be stated now or at the time we're discussing the particular item. This takes on to the minutes of the previous meeting. Okay, I'll take that as read. This moves us on to the public reports. Peter?
Chair, there was just the decision notice as well for noting under 5.1, just for elected members' information. Those are the decisions taken last time around, they're just for noting. Okay, Chair, then that moves us on to item 5.3. Which relates to the former Arniston Gasworks. That's on page 19 of the agenda. Chair, this report relates to a review previously considered by the local review body regarding a planning application in principle for the erection of 10 dwelling houses and associated works at land at the former Arniston Gasworks Gore Bridge. The local review body resolved at its meeting of October 2015 to grant planning permission subject to the prior signing of a legal agreement to secure developer contributions. The legal agreement has not been concluded despite the planning authority repeatedly chasing the applicants to do so. As a consequence, I'm seeking a steer from the local review body with regard to a course of action. The report outlines a number of potential options for the local review body to consider, but the local review body can use its discretion to come up with an alternative option. By way of a reminder, only those elected members who considered the application at the October 2015 meeting should consider the update report. Just for your information, those members were Councillor Bryant, Councillor Baxter, Councillor Constable, Councillor Bennett, Councillor Imrie, Councillor Montgomery and Councillor DeVink.
Okay, on page 21 is the three options that's there, but as Peter said, we can come up with a fourth if we wish to.
Could I maybe ask a question to the head of planning just before we get into the discussion? And I suppose that word, discussion, have any discussions gone on between the applicant and the planning department? And if so, what seem to be the sticking points with regard to a legal agreement? Because clearly it would be helpful if members knew that, because the report doesn't actually mention it. Thanks.
Yeah, Chair, I mean, the Council's Planning Department and indeed its legal team have been in contact with the applicant and their solicitors regarding the legal agreement, and all we're getting back is simply they're considering their options, they're reviewing it. We're not signing because of financial reasons or because of A, B and C, or just not getting that. We'll come back to you in due course, and we're just not getting anywhere.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yeah, you remember when this application first came up, there were a number of concerns I had about it. One was the state in which the premises had been left. And this led me to a more general concern that the developer didn't seem particularly interested in following many of the guidelines, to put it mildly, that had been placed on the development process. This delay of well over a year now it strengthens that feeling that the developer here is dragging the feet and don't really seem that bothered about developing unless it's within their own clear interests. I'm constantly concerned about situations where application agreements are not finalised within a specified amount of time, because it leaves the council without knowing what's happening. It leaves local residents, neighbours of the site, not knowing what's happening, not knowing whether maybe another application is going to come in for a slightly different plan for the same site. So In general, I'm really worried about the number of legacy cases, cases where we've got agreements which are not being tied up, and all because the developer wants to suit their own agenda. For that reason, I'm very much in favour of following option B here, where we set a time limit to actually complete the agreement. But also I would like to propose an amendment to that whereby we bring the agreement period down from 3 months to 1 month. So I'm formally proposing option B with an amendment that it's 1 month rather than three.
Okay. Alec first and then you, Bob.
Thanks, Chair. I remember this application well, and I was done the site visit. It's the biggest messy a place I've ever seen in my life. It's a scar on Midlothian, and that's how the local review committee overwhelmingly voted to grant planning permission for this site. Now, I want to ask a question also. What type of money are we talking about for developer contributions, Peter? Because it's a very small site.
The reason I paused there is I haven't got the exact figure, so I was just quickly trying to give you a good approximation of it, because you 10 dwelling houses, you get the first two are exempt from developer contributions, so then you'd be looking at approximately about £15,000 a unit thereafter, so 8 times £15,000.
Bob.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to second Councillor Baxter's proposal. Initially, I was on the site visit too, and I voted in favour of this development on the site. But, however, I strongly agree with Councillor Baxter that these derelict sites being left lying around Skye in Midlothian are a disgrace, and I think we should put either follow option B with the Ian's amendment of 1 month.
Russell.
Chair, I'm quite happy to go along with option B. What I would have liked to have seen, first of all, is the local review body taking a decision to actually write to the applicant and warn them that if they don't actually do something about it, then we will be taking action within a period. I think, to be perfectly honest, the reason why I'm going to speak against the motion that's been moved is you might as well actually try and just overturn the decision by the LRB, because a month is absolutely ludicrous, and I think everybody in this place knows that. Now, we've had some lobbying going on, and we all know that, Chairman, by the Muirfoot Community Council and also the Federation of Community Councils, who seem to have got themselves all involved in something actually that's technically none of their business. Now, I'm quite happy to have community councils making points when it is appropriate to the area that they represent. What I'm actually not happy about is getting bombarded with information supporting somebody else about information, etc., etc. So I'm very unhappy about that. I suppose then my motion or my amendment or whatever one wants to call it is an actual fact that the LRB write to the applicant with a view of warning them that if they don't respond, then the LRB at its next meeting will be taking a final decision on the actions that we have to take. And I think that that's in fairness, Chair, because that's why I asked the Head of Planning how far it had gone along the line. If you're getting this, oh, well, hey-ho, it'll be fine, then I accept, you know, that's not good enough. I accept that wholeheartedly. But what I would like to see us doing is giving the applicant that chance to respond to the officers. And if they don't do that, then I think a more robust report can come back up to this LRB, and at the next one, we can take that fundamental decision.
Before I ask you to speak, Ian, I understand that the
Yeah, Chair, so I've maybe not made myself clear on this point, is that we've written to them saying if they don't engage, then we will come back to the LRB. So at an officer level only, we've been saying if you don't engage, we'll go to the LRB. I've obviously not written on behalf of the local review body. I'm just, as an officer, we've already been writing to them, so, I wouldn't say threatening, but trying to chivvy them into that point. So we've got to this report because they're not listening to officers at that point.
Ian.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I think I was going to make much of that the same sort of point before Peter came in, to say that all applicants know the rules when they start. When they put an application in, they're told what kind of timelines they have to adhere to, and clearly that's not happened here. Also, last time I looked on the map, the area concerned was within the area represented by Morfordd Community Council and by the Midlothian Federation of Community Councils. So I think both do have a right to intervene in this particular issue. Further to Alex's point, yes, the site did look pretty awful when we went on the site visit. However, I remember from the original application that the Forestry Commission indicated they were very keen to turn that area back into natural woodland. And I would be very interested if this application is withdrawn, that we contact Forestry Commission to see if they're still happy to do that, because that all along has been my preferred option for this plot of land.
Russell, did you want to speak after Peter had spoken?
No, I'll continue along my chain of thoughts. You've obviously let somebody in to talk on the motion who's actually moved a motion in the first place. But I will actually say, while accepting that officers may have done that, you as chair of this LRB writing that letter, I think, has a lot more weight. Now, if I'm the applicant and I get a letter from the chair of the LRB and I don't give two hoots about it and don't respond to it, then I think the LRB will have a position and will have a decision to take. But I think we owe them one more opportunity of you writing as an LRB, because as the head of planning has already stated, officers may have written, but I think if that's a political action from the elected members, and I think hopefully it will carry a little bit more weight. And if it doesn't, Chairman, well, hey ho, that's in their own hands, and dare I say, to hang with it.
Bob.
Thank you. We have to consider when is the next LRB meeting? It will be, I suppose, presumably in 6 weeks' time. It'll probably be the last one off this council, so there'll be the last one where all the members present who were at the meeting who made the decision initially could be present. I would think if we moved from the 1 month to the 3 months as suggested in the paper, and you write that we could still pass option B with a letter from the chair.
We're talking about option B then as it stands, yeah? But you still say 1 month, yeah?
Developers know the rules, and I think that so long as we send out the signal to them that we'll keep playing to their tune, then we're going to have this problem recurring time and time again.
And Bob, if you've seconded Ian, are you going to change that now?
No, I'm so happy to continue second Ian's 1 month.
I'd like to second Russell's motion that we as a local review body, because this case is being treated differently, by the way, for other cases, because everybody here knows there's planning applications since 4 years ago, and there's still not been none happened. I'll take it in my constituency, doing it looked at, still nothing happened in there. Have we got to withdraw that? I don't think so. So, Chair, there's a move here to undermine the decision that was taken by the previous local review body, and it was almost unanimous. If I remember right, Councillor Baxter didn't get a seconder for it to refuse the application. So I think, to be fair, to the people who've applied for the application, that Russell's right, that we're right to them, through yourselves, Jim, as chairman of the review board, And if they don't respond to that, then the local review board can look at it again and take a harder line.
Okay, so we have two propositions here. We have one for option B as it stands and one for option B at 1 month.
Chair, sorry, I think we are. We've got the first option proposed by Councillor Baxter was option B with amendment to 1 month. The second option by Councillor Imrie was to a fourth option in effect, which is effectively write a letter in your name, Chair, and if there's no response, or even if there is, come back to the next local review body, which should be the first week of March, I think. Right. And then you can reconsider it depending on a response or no response at that point.
Okay, yeah. Is that what you... Okay, we have a vote situation. We'll go for Ian's first, those who support the one. And now the proposal by Alec, who supports Alec.
Three.
Just to be clear, then, Chair, I'll work with you so you can pull a letter together to send to the applicant, and we'll report back.
Next review board.
Next review board. Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Okay. Which takes on to item 5.4.
Thank you, Chair. This is a report which relates to a review submitted regarding an application for the erection of a store building and fence at 66 New Battle Abbey Crescent, Dalkeith. The proposal comprises a timber store building with a monopitch roof measuring 2.5 metres by 5.3 metres and the erection of a 1.8 metre boundary fence. A planning application for the proposed development was refused on the 4th of October 2016. A copy of the decision notice and the officer's report, along with papers from the applicant, have been submitted and form part of your papers today. The local review body carried out a site visit yesterday on the 23rd of January 2017. The review is to proceed by written submissions, and following today's decision, a decision notice will be issued through the chair and made available on the case file.
Russell?
Yeah, thanks. Before we get into the application proper, a couple of members mentioned yesterday about the restrictions, etc., of what one can and cannot do where the original application came about some 50 years ago. Now, I know Peter's not been around as long as within the council that long, but however, I just wondered if there's anything on file that actually states that restriction is there as long as that estate is in existence.
Yeah, interesting enough, the situation's maybe moved on a bit from there insofar as that you are most probably aware that that's actually in a conservation area, although it's maybe not for the historical buildings, for the buildings, it's because of its landscape as part of the New Battle conservation area. And with that conservation area status comes certain restrictions and controls. And I say that because regardless of the permission 50 years ago, we're in a situation where effectively pretty well all forms of development require plan permission. And in addition to that, that conservation area status also adds protection to the trees, not the shrubs, but to the trees as well. So in terms of we got into a conversation yesterday about what height of fence and all the rest of it. Effectively, they would need to apply regardless of the height of the fence and moving the fence. So they technically need permission for that. So we've sort of moved on since the historical permission. So
that, in a way, I don't think that's helped. I still ask the question, Is it throughout the estate that nobody is allowed to put fences up above or to up to a building line, i.e. the public pavement, or not? And that's the bit I can't get in my head, because yesterday when we were looking around, there's fences in different positions, in different places, and I have to say that's why I was just asking that question, because clearly if the policy is in a conservation area, for example, never mind what was written in the missives or whatever, for a moment, if that was there, then that means that nothing in that estate should have happened. Yet we, as a local authority, have allowed that. And that's what I'm rather concerned about. We either let it go, or we actually take enforcement action against everybody else. And we ain't going to be doing that. So that's where I'm in a bit of a dilemma, and that's why I was just asking the question, Chairman. It's not a trick question. It's a genuine question about how we deal with that, because there's open plan estates all over this county, and you know, as people of elected members will have seen throughout their duties of going round their own moors, things do change. People do want things to happen, and the open plan policy of maybe years ago, which was right and proper to do then, doesn't suffice in today's modern society. And I just that's the reason why I asked the question.
I'll try and answer that in a slightly different way, if I can. Because it's in a conservation area, they need to apply for the developments to take place, so they have to ask. That doesn't mean to say you're going to have to say no every time. It just means they've got to ask you yes, no. But there's no defined, you'll say yes in these circumstances and no in these circumstances. I mean, you could, through the course of decision-making, say, OK, as long as the fences aren't in front of the building lines, i.e. you're not enclosing the front gardens, but side gardens, rear gardens, that could be okay. And the way things have gone down, as you said, as slowly as an evolution taking place, isn't there? Fences have changed, gone up, evolved, and the LRB's even been down there before, if you remember, I think just further down the road and supported a fence down there. So, I mean, to be honest with you, it's that we're at a situation where if the local review body is minded to support this application, then it may be a case that as a planning service we take on board, look, rear fences is okay, come on, we just need to say that, and actually maybe just have some sort of concern over front, enclosing front gardens maybe. So that's where we are.
Lisa?
Thank you, Jim. I'm taking on board very much what we've just heard from Peter. And it does concern me that there was evidence, as we saw yesterday, of any number of fences that have clearly been introduced since the original design of the estate, the development was put in place. What we could reflect on is that it's a little disappointing that there hasn't been better coordination between some of the owners, where fences which are adjacent to one another are so disparate, and perhaps it's something that we could perhaps as a planning authority encourage local neighbourhood associations to work more collectively and collaboratively together. It's in their best interest, because obviously it maintains their aesthetic environment in a more coherent way and a more pleasant way, possibly, not to mention ensuring perhaps a greater concern for the value of their properties for those who go forward to sell. And that's clearly not the responsibility or the remit of this body. Within all of that, we did see any number of fences that were hard up against the curb, and indeed, that pavement curb on the pavement side, the footway side of things, rather than the roadside. In the original application, the applicant makes reference to a number of different properties and cites evidence to support this. Similarly, there's reference from the planning authority where there's a view that this is a back garden, it's a rear fence, therefore this isn't so important, or it's at the end of a cul-de-sac. Clearly, I think we saw little evidence of front gardens being enclosed by fences or high fences. But this is not, in my opinion, having been at the site, a major issue. I, I, I'm not insensitive to the objection that's been put in to the planning application originally, but within that, if there were sight lines being obstructed by this proposed fence, then sight lines are already being obstructed by the fence that's already in place. And there is a reference to the unkempt site of the garden that's enclosed by the existing fence. Well, I'm not really surprised with the building works that have gone on there with the approval of this authority, this planning authority. I'm not sure we should be taking that flavour of objection into consideration. I don't think anyone who's ever seen a building site ongoing where an extension is being undertaken that wasn't reasonably described as unkempt. It's not pleasant for anyone as a neighbour or as someone who's having the work done. In all of this, Chair, I really do think that we should be considering what's fair, what's reasonable, and it doesn't seem reasonable to refuse this appeal when we saw so much evidence of a variety of different heights and shades and colours of fences. I think we should support the appeal, uphold the appeal, and perhaps take a view that had it been for a front garden, we might have taken a very different view. But as it is, it's along a cul-de-sac which branches off the main runway of the development, isn't going to cause offence to anyone. Possibly the neighbour has objections that might on the surface seem valid, but I looked very carefully. Sitting in a normal height of vehicle, I fail to comprehend how lines of sight could in any way be obstructed that aren't already affected by the existing fence. And can we not just grant the appeal as it stands to allow these people to move on with their lives, enjoyment of their garden, because at the present moment they own this strip, very small strip of garden, which they've now currently got to go out with their fence to do the gardening. They're clearly keeping it in good order. Is it really such a difficulty for anyone to allow them to enjoy their enlarged garden for the land they already own and have to maintain and are so doing? I move that we would grant the appeal. Thank you.
Russell?
I'd just like to second on Councillor Beattie. She's articulated, I think, a lot of thoughts that are around this table, and I think and common sense prevails when we should uphold the appeal and grant planning permission. Thanks. Thanks, Chair.
Anybody else otherwise minded?
Okay. Chair, can I just interrupt? There are two proposed conditions without prejudice on page 30 which relate to just ensuring that the design of the fence is maybe what you'd expect, vertical panels, timber fence. Do you want us just to leave those conditions on or not, Chair?
Yeah, just as I mentioned at the site visit, I'd be quite keen to see if we could make sure the mature trees are kept, because I felt that if they were lost, it would detract from the character of the estate, whereas the bushes, I could see that they're not mature, they're fairly young, and I don't think losing them would be a bit of a shame, but it wouldn't really detract too much from the character of the estate.
Yeah, Chair, just to reassure you that the trees, not the shrubs, the trees are protected under the conservation legislation. And I recall the applicants put in a statement that they keep the trees anyway, so that, yeah.
Thank you, Chair. In accordance, as the mover of this proposal, I'm happy that the conditions be incorporated.
Right, thank you very much for your attendance.